some of you were around a couple of weeks ago. We introduced these 2 weeks. Probably in hindsight, it's funny when you do planning, isn't it? We were planning and thought, you know, we had a couple of weeks. We've got some guest speakers coming over the next couple of weeks. But the impact of Big Church Day Out probably wasn't fully in our heads in terms of the fact that lots of people would still be camping and it was a very full day. So we're going to revisit this a little bit on the 18th of June. And what Sue and I are going to share as well, we're having an away morning together as a leadership team a week on Friday. So we'll be chatting this through and refining it, and we'll probably bring it back in early September as well, just to sort of put it out there as well in terms of what we feel, looking forward, what God is saying to us. When we met a couple of weeks ago, really we wanted to focus on the faithfulness of God to us as a church. And you can have a listen to it. It's on the website. You can download it, have a listen to it. So we won't repeat it now, but it really was based around a couple of verses in the Psalms which talk about giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we just reflected on God's faithfulness to us as a church, particularly in the last 3 years or so. We've gone through quite a lot of change, and we've repositioned ourselves in terms of our vision and our focus. We've moved around quite a bit with Sunday gatherings, and for now we're here. You know, even over the last year, it was Pentecost Sunday in May 2016, when we first came to the Catholic High School. So it's only just a year. But we were in another building. We were over in the hall, if you remember, and some of the photographs reflected that. But the school have asked us to be in this room, which I think we feel more comfortable in, actually, in terms of its feel and its size for where we are. But that's just continual change, isn't it? So we're just thankful to God for his faithfulness. And so just for the next 20 minutes or so, you know, we want to just look forward a little bit. And if we can just stick the PowerPoint up, Tim, that would be great. Because this is the vision that we formulated over the last 3 years or so in terms of how it encapsulates what we're seeking to be a people to do, to what we feel God has asked us to do. And who's got the mobile phone on? I don't know. We'll see how we go. Is it you? When Sue and I were preparing this, we've split up a little bit. We didn't set out like this, but we've ended up with 5 P's. Hopefully you can remember this. This is how we've formulated the talk. So the first P that we want to talk about a little bit is the word present. And that really flows out of our verse in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, which talks about now is the time. And this is the time, I believe, that God is calling us to be present in. We have hope and we have a future and there's things that we're looking for God to do and continue to do. But what we've been really focusing on is actually pulling the future into the present. And that's really what the kingdom of God is about. That sense of the kingdom of God, which is the future, that which is still to come. But actually pulling that into the present. And when we pray that prayer, your kingdom come, that's what we're praying. We're praying that future promise, the future hopes and dreams of our faith. We're saying, Lord, would you bring that now? Would you release that now? And this is the day. This is the moment. And we've already touched upon that a little bit. That verse from Zephaniah was one of the verses in my mind when I was thinking about that, because this is that. We're living in that moment now that the prophets told about. People like Joel talked about a day when the Holy Spirit would come in Joel 2. And Peter, when he stood up, said, this is that. So we're living in those days where these promises are of that. Now is the time. This is the day of the Holy Spirit's presence amongst his people. And we're living in that moment. And we're living in a moment, I think, within our world, within our context of what we've just touched upon. I think, you know, within our society, particularly thinking about the United Kingdom right now, I think something is shifting at two levels. When you watch out for the signs of the times, the men of Issachar read the signs of the times and they knew what the Lord was saying. And I think for three things to happen in such quick proximity, in terms of the two things in London and then the Manchester bombing, I think we have to take note of that. That these things are happening because I think there's something shifting in the spiritual dynamic of our nation. It's, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against people. We're not against Muslims. We're not against any people groups. You know, it's against the spiritual powers that are at work, that are battling for the soul of our nation. That's what we're involved in. We're in a cosmic battle. But what we do know is the promises that now is the time. And so that whole thing of thy kingdom come, the prayer initiative is so key, I think, for what God is doing, because it's on those two levels. There's something spiritually going on where I think the enemy is at work and darkness is evident. But at the same time, I think there's a wave of prayer and intercession, and there's a move of God in our nation that is bubbling up. And by God's grace, we can be involved in that as a church. So we need to recognize that we're in this present moment. General election on Thursday, my goodness. Any other time, that would be dominating everything, wouldn't it? But, you know, twice now, the whole thing's suspended. So the Prime Minister's in a meeting this morning, the Cobra meeting. Whatever we have politically, whatever we think about parties, these are individuals sitting in meetings making decisions. That's why we're told in 2 Timothy to pray for those in authority over us. I wouldn't want to be in that meeting. Sometimes I think I'm in some strategic meetings. These are meetings, aren't they? With people like, you know, whether we think about these politicians and politically, whether we're, you know, conservative, Labour, Liberal, Dem, you made that choice between you and God. Don't think, you know, there's not one party that a Christian votes for. You just need to work out with God what you're going to do and go and vote. So make sure this Thursday you go and make your vote. That's what we're called to do. We need to engage in this and be prayerful. And that leads me on to the second P. I need to hurry up, otherwise I'll leave no time for soup. The second P is about position. And we looked at this in 2 Chronicles 20. And the story in 2 Chronicles 20, we mentioned this a few weeks ago. It's the story, what's the name of the guy? Thank you. I was just checking. It's gone out of my head. Jehoshaphat. And it says in verse 17, take up your positions. And I think it's really important for each of us in our personal relationship with God and where we are in our journey of faith to work out what is our position. Where are we standing? Where are we positioning ourselves? And Acts 1, verses 1 to 4. Can I just read it? I think it'd be good just to read it. Acts chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, just turn with me really quickly. I won't be in this for too long, but it is I think it's really important just to make reference to it. So in Acts chapter 1, there's this, you know, it's Jesus is talking to his disciples. Verse 3 says, he appeared to them for about 40 days, spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he said this commandment, do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set for his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I haven't got a lot of time to go into this, but Luke writes this after the events of of what's now Acts 2. So he's writing this afterwards, looking back on what's happened in Acts 2 in terms of the day of Pentecost. And he's saying this is the context for what happens in Acts 2. And that is about Jesus saying, stay in Jerusalem because you're going to get a gift that my Father has promised. And they got caught up on what was going on around them. And I think it's really important that we keep that focus. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. But the Israelites said, the disciples said, Lord, are you at that time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And they were missing the point, basically, because all they thought about was Israel. They didn't think about the ends of the earth. They didn't think about the fact that this message was going to go beyond the Israelites. They didn't have a clue, really, of what was going to happen when the day of Pentecost came. They were just a small group of Jews, mainly from the north, hadn't really left much of Galilee. That's why he says, don't leave Jerusalem. They all wanted to go back home. But they waited, and they wanted to know, are you going to restore the times to, and is this the time for Israel to be restored? And really what's going on is Jesus saying, there's a bigger picture going on. And that's what I want you to hear this morning, that in terms of what's going on in our nation, there is a bigger picture. There's bigger things happening than just terrorist attacks or the general election or whatever's going on. There's bigger things happening. And what our response is to trust the Father. That's why Jesus said, it's not for me or you to know the dates the Father set. I don't know how you feel when you wake up to the news of what's happened in terms of all the questions. And I'm not saying it's wrong. God doesn't have a problem with us asking him questions like why or what. But in the midst of that, part of where we need to help people get to and where we together need to encourage each other is to say, you know what? I trust the Father. I trust the Father. I trust the Father that he knows what he's doing in our nation right now. That's what Jesus' message was that he revealed the Father. No other person had come on planet Earth and talked about God in the terms that Jesus did about the Father. And we need to trust the Father because, and that's part of who we are in terms of our position. We need to position ourselves as children of the Father. It's so important that we keep going back to working out our identity. And working through, and I know this because I've had to do it. We have to go through some pain and work through some issues sometimes to work out really what our identity is. Because the world will put identity on us. It'll cover us in fear. It'll cover us in shame. It'll cover us in guilt. It'll cover us in condemnation. It'll cover us in anxiety. And what we need to find in the heart of the Father is the love that he has for us so that our identity is found in the child that we are. So that we can step out of the shame, step out of the disappointment, step out of the condemnation of voices that have spoken over our lives and said things to us like, you're stupid, you'll amount to nothing, there's nothing good in you. We need to hear the Father speak those words of truth over our lives. And that's painful. It's not an easy process. That's why we need the ministry of Sozo and other ministries like that, which deal with inner healing, emotional healing, as well as physical healing. Because God wants us to know that we can trust him. Whatever goes on in our lives, we need to position ourselves in that. And we need to receive, in the midst of that then, the promised Holy Spirit. And I think over the next few weeks and months, what I want to instill in you is a confidence in your faith. What the United Kingdom now is a church that is confident in its faith. It needs people like you and me, ordinary people, who are living life with stuff. We're not perfect. We haven't got life sorted. But all we do have is faith. And faith is being certain of what we hope for and being sure of what we do not see. We need that faith. We need to be people who are living in that position of faith. And we don't need a lot of faith. So don't go away thinking, oh, I've only got this much faith. That's all you need is this much faith. We need mustard seed faith. But what we do need is we need to act on our faith. We need to receive. And we need to be confident to tell our story. We need to be confident to talk to people about Jesus. I think there's a window of opportunity in our nation where we can talk about Jesus. Don't talk about church. Don't talk about religion. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what Jesus has done in your life. What's your story? That's what we need to have confidence together to have. And I want to encourage you as well to have confidence to invite people to events that we put on as a church, where people can hear more about their faith, our faith and the story. So for example, one final thing and I'll pass over to you, Sue. I've got an invitation somewhere. So we're gonna try and encourage us to be a people who invite people to things. That's already going on in our missional communities. Some of the missional communities are doing really well at inviting people to things that they put on. And they don't have to be, you know, all singing, all dancing events. It's just invite them into your life, into your community, into your faith. But this is next Sunday, when we, this new venture on the second Sunday, for those of us who are not out in our missional communities, we're back at the Who Lighthouse Center. So we've put this little invitation together. It's for families. We're connecting to Who Let the Dads Out with Tony and Mark and others who are involved in that. And that's next week. So pick up an invite and think about who you can invite.
First thing I was going to say was all about faith. The next P is provision. And we were thinking about this, and we were drawn to the verse Ephesians 3:20. And if you know your Bible, it says that no one, no eye can see or imagine what God has got in store for those that love him. But there's another bit of the verse we often forget, and it says, according to the power that's at work in us. So how do we get this abiding faith working in us? And it's really important because it's that that changes the atmosphere. And Andrew mentioned already Hebrews 11, being sure of what we hope for. And actually, we're supposed to know the outcome. We're supposed to trust by faith that God's got it sorted. And that's a big challenge, isn't it? Because if we're all honest, we've all got fears about something or other. And living in that place where we can see it before it happens is actually a big thing. So what changes that? And I think one of the things that changes that is that we encounter God for ourselves. When Andy and I first went to Bethel in California in 2012, we were really broken. And we walked into a place of worship and love that completely undid us. And we had an encounter with Jesus. And it's fair to say we really haven't been the same since. We have our ups and downs, but we've had so many encounters with God since that's changed us inside that hopefully you can see that living water pouring out of us. But we have to keep doing that. And the only way to do that is to keep abiding in Jesus. 1 John 4 talks about us abiding in him because we know that he loves us and we're his kids. If you actually read 1 John 4 and the verses 13 to 15, it talks about abiding, it talks about living, and then it talks about testifying to who Jesus is. And since we came back, one of the big lessons that we've learned is we need to tell Jesus' story. What is Jesus doing amongst us? What's he doing now? And what's his promise that he will do? And that's part of our vision, expecting great things from God and attempting great things with God. And I'm sure some of you thought, oh, all this moving around the buildings, why can't we just stay where we are? We've been trying to take a risk with God. We've been trying to act in faith so that we can become those believers that actually believe that God says what he says and expect the unexpected and expect heaven to change earth and supernatural to invade. And if you talk to Sam's at work today, but I bet you any money he's talking to somebody about Jesus. He makes this his goal every day to go out and share Jesus. And I know Peter does that. And people encounter Jesus when they meet Peter. and Derry, and when they meet Sam out there in the marketplace, they also encounter Jesus in the everyday, in the mum at the school gate, in the workplace. And we've seen God break in supernaturally in some amazing ways. When I had a very little tiny faith and we went to the leaders' conference, Baptist Fresh Streams, in January, and I was feeling pretty rough. And Andy said, go and pray for that lady over there who's on crutches and hasn't bent a knee for 12 years. And I went, thanks. That was my level of faith. Thanks, Andy. I wanted to get prayed for healing, but I went over to this woman with my tiny little bit of faith. I prayed for her, and I watched her leg straighten. And I watched her running up and down the aisles. And I went, really? So much so I said, are you really healed? And she said, yes. And she still is. And she keeps telling us, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He's only, as someone we heard say recently, he's only gone and done it. And that's what we're looking for, that amazing interjection of God's provision. The next P is the prophetic. And those of you that know me well, is that I believe it's really important to steward the prophetic. And last time we spoke, we talked about all those words that God has given us that he's fulfilled. And we talked about the things that God had done through the unexpected things, the people who'd left us and died and what they'd left behind. We talked about how God's brought those ministries to fulfill that vision that we didn't have. And I want to just share with you a few more of what God said that he hasn't yet fulfilled. And I told you my story about going up Mont Blanc. And for those of you that weren't here, it was a real story of fear going up this mountain in France where in the cable car, this guy had a bag over his head and was absolutely terrified. And then when the cable car swung out like that and we all screamed and thought that was it, we had to get out. And we had to get out on this next ledge and my legs were shaking like this. And I thought, there is no way I'm going up the rest of that mountain. But we did. We got in the car and then you go up the sheer face, which is like this. And if you look down, it's a bit scary because you see all the mechanism. You see this tiny car that you're in and you think, really? But as you look up, you see this amazing scene of this mountain with a glacier at the top. And it just reminded me of how much God says our focus has to be him. And we've had some words given to us. And one of the words that keeps being given to Andy and I, and it's not just our word, it's HBC's word, from Isaiah 54, about extending our tents and stretching out to the left and the right. And it talks before about, sing, O barren woman, you have never conceived a child, because more are the children of the desolate than those who've given birth. And it's a picture of the children of Israel. It's a picture of that day they were hoping for that we've seen in Pentecost. And it's a picture of triumph, but it's also a picture of the church. It's a picture of his kingdom coming. It's a picture of that freedom that God speaks about in Galatians. It's for freedom he set us free. And it's a picture of fruitfulness and healing and breakthrough. So what's God said to us? I can only give you the sound bites of some of the words that have been given to us as a leadership, as a church, as a couple. But God has said he's going to bring the new people to stand with us. That he's brought you guys to stand alongside us. Some of you weren't here 3 years ago. He's brought you as family and he's brought you as friends. But he's also going to bring new people. I've been praying and I do pray for those he's going to bring to stand with us. He's told us we're in a new day and a new season. If you were in the encounter, Rona gave a prophetic word in the encounter evening on the second Sunday last month. And I really felt it was important that we stood and responded to that word. And we stood and we said, we want that new season. We want that new day, God. Andy was at a conference in Liverpool recently and the speaker picked him out and prophesied over him. And he said, sometime you'll feel like what you're trying to do is about to run out. You'll feel like there's no money, there's no people, and there's no resources. But God has said he will bring you those resources and he will fill that empty box. even if you feel it's running out, even if you keep bringing it to him, you'll keep filling it time and time and time again. He's told us that he's going to give us overwhelming love for those that are broken and those that are hurting. He's told us in Isaiah 54, when we went to Bethel in October 2014, I've lost track. No, it wasn't October, it was May 2015. And again, somebody came and prophesied from the front over Andy and said, Isaiah 54 is really important to you and your ministry and your church. And they said there was an expansion upon us. And that what he did here, not just in HBC, but in Chester, would have an effect on the nations. We were given a prophetic word in 80-something as a church, when a prophet was part of our church, and he said that we would do something and we would pray things that would affect the destiny of nations. And I've never forgotten that word, and I really believe that's important. And we're privileged to have people like Ben and Lucy and others amongst us that have gone out there to the nations, because what we pray makes a difference out there. Talk to Jim. Talk to Jim about all the nations that he visits and touches. You know, that man is amazing. He probably will hate me for saying this, but he's amazing. And we were at the big church day out. And what does he do? He goes around all the stands of all the mission peoples. And what does he do? He encourages them, because most of us walk past and avoid them, so we don't want to get collared. We want to celebrate our difference. One of the words that we've had repeatedly as a leadership team and as us is that we are a diverse group of people. We're not all the same, but we need to celebrate and bring out the gold in each other. We've had that word of jubilee. And part of that word of jubilee, I decided this week I would write to this prophet on Facebook, which I don't do. And I'd send him a written report of how much of the word's been fulfilled since February 2014 when we got given it. And listening to it and writing about it made me realise there's more to come. And it actually said in that word, wait till you see how good it gets. And we had Kerry and Simon Carl visit us last weekend, was it, Andy? Yeah. And they said, what's happened in 3 years? Tell us what's happened since we left. So I stood in Hull Lighthouse Centre and I just went, blah, 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 and they went, my goodness, what's going on at HBC? And that was somebody who was part of us, but to reflect back to them what was happening. And standing at the big church day out, I won't name the person, but I watched the Holy Spirit fall on this person. And Andy and I have prayed for this person for years. And I watched them get touched by God. And it was just amazing. I went up and I hugged them. And I was able to reflect with them yesterday morning what happened. They said, it was a moment. It was a moment, wasn't it? Sue, it was a moment. And it was. It was a moment when God just broke in. I talked to Derry about her conversation at the big church day out. Amazing. God is on the move through us and amongst us. And it is incredible. But we have to exercise that faith. We have to make it grow. We can't just rely on the little bit each day. We have to let God change us. So the next P, we've had provision, we've had presence, we've had position, we've had prophetic. The next P, the last one, is presence. You might have heard Andy and I talk a lot about hosting God's presence, because that's what we feel happens when we let that living water come out of us. We have to go back and get refilled. Ephesians says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's not enough for today. We have to have more, because we have to leak it out. But we have to learn to tune our spirits and turn our affection to Jesus. And that means we have to contend for that breakthrough to see God's kingdom come. We have to use that measure of faith and declare into being before it actually happens. I wrote a reflection on breakthrough, I don't know how many years ago. And I read it at Prayer Watch, and I said, I really believe this is what God is saying to us as a church. And I've read it, and I've read it, and I've read it, because I really believe we're on a tipping point of breakthrough. The number of people that we've had contact with in the last 3 years who don't know Jesus is more than we've had in years and years and years. And you just talk to the different members of the missional communities. God is doing something, and we are just privileged to be part of it. But I have to manage my own heart. I have to say, when I'm disappointed and when I feel loss, what do I do with it? I cannot afford to dwell on it. Bill Johnson says, don't sacrifice on the altar of human reasoning what I know to be true by revelation. So what does that mean? When I'm disappointed, when I feel loss, when I feel fear, if I start human reasoning, I will not keep my eyes on that mountain, and I will not keep my eyes on Jesus. Because what's true by revelation? What's true by revelation is that God is good. And he's good all the time. What's good by revelation? It says nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. But we have to declare that. We have to risk it. And the cross has done it all, hasn't it? Didn't Jesus say it's finished? He's not going to keep sacrificing. He did it once and for all. And that means that we have to carry it out. And Andy's also touched on this other one. We are significant. We're not arrogant in saying that. If we carry the identity and the image of our God, we have to know in our identity, we are significant. Some of you know me well. If you start putting yourself down, I get really cross. Because in effect, we're not putting ourselves down. We're actually putting the person we carry down, our God. And it's not humble to say that I'm not significant. It's actually pride. Because God says we are. Every single one of us is significant in this place. Because we're his kids. And the power of his Spirit from Pentecost lives in me. And he lives in you. And you have a purpose. And you have a destiny. And actually, we owe it to the world to say that we have encountered the living God. And they can too. The greatest gift that we can give the people out there who don't know Jesus is an encounter with the living God. I don't spend my time saying, why hasn't God done this or why hasn't God done that? Because one of the things I've learned over the last 4 years is that's a waste of energy and a waste of time. I have to keep going back to have my encounter with God so I can give another encounter away to those that don't know him. Because Jesus said, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. As somebody once said to me recently, he isn't the I was, he is the I am. So we've got a choice, haven't we? Really? Will we live watching the signs of the times now? Will we position ourselves? Will we look to God for that provision he's got for us? Will we watch out for the prophetic? And I really believe we have to steward that prophetic and bring heaven to earth so that we can live in his presence, live in the Pentecost moment. Would you like to stand up?
So we did this a couple of weeks ago, and we wanted to make a declaration, and it's making a declaration because we're calling into being things that we don't see yet, as if they were. That's what these declarations are about. They're taking our faith and they're saying, this is what we see is going to happen, and we're going to declare it into being now. That's what Abraham did in Romans 4. So let's say this together. So we are believing you for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created, dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations, impartations, and divine appointments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is in a good mood. He loves us all the time. Nothing can separate us from his love. Jesus' blood paid for everything. We will tell nations of what he has done. With God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Let's just remain standing. If the worship team could come at this point, that'd be great. Father, we thank you so much for these moments, Lord, for these days that we live in. Lord, thank you that there's no accident that we are here this morning, that you are purposing our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for every person in this room. Lord, I pray for every single person, Lord, who stood here today. And Lord, I declare, Lord, that you are a loving, faithful, caring, kind God over every life. And whatever person's carrying, Lord, you know the struggles, you know the circumstances, you know the situations. Lord, we pray, I pray, Lord, that we together would grow in our trust of the Father. That we would trust you, Heavenly Father, with all that we carry. And that we would step out of the shame and the disappointment and even the offense that sometimes we carry towards you. And we'd bring that into the light of your love and experience your heart for us. And we can do that now because we can receive the Holy Spirit. That today, on this day, Pentecost Sunday, would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you fill each and every single one of us? From the youngest in our midst to the eldest, Lord, would you fill us, Holy Spirit? Because without you, we can do absolutely nothing. But with you, we can do all things. And with you, nothing is impossible. And with you, we can see broken lives and communities healed, restored, and brought into freedom. But only with you, Lord. Only because of your Holy Spirit living in us. So fill us up, Lord, this morning to send us out to serve you. So we're going to just sing and go into a time of worship. We asked Moira if we could just sing this particular song just to open up this time of worship. So if you want to stay standing, please do. If you feel you want to sit down at some point, obviously feel free to sit or stand. But let's just go into this song and then we're just going to have a bit of time of song worship.